Did you know you could sponsor Nerds and Psy? That's right, for just $20, we'd say something nice about you. We'd compliment your shoes. We'd say, wow, nice your hair or lack of it looks today. That's right, just go to nerdandpsy.com, click on the sponsor form, and the instructions are there for people. Or you can contribute to our legal fund by going to gofundme.com/nerdandpsy.
On this episode of Nerd and Tie, a San Japan chair steps down after a controversial tweet, people in Florida are dumb enough to run cons, we check in with each other during this, the mailbag, and more!
Woohoo!
I am one of your hosts, Ken Proc, and with me, as always, are the splendiferous Traydorn.
I am a person who exists in all ways possible, in all ways possible.
And the magnificent Nikazumi.
Does it bother anyone else that Starscream thinks he's more handsome than the other Jets, and they're all identical?
Not really.
I think about that a lot. No, really.
Okay,
oh,
but this is an exciting episode because we actually have convention news.
Oh my God, we do! Oh my
this
God,
is an
guys!
Episode.
This guy. Let's pull this convention news up. Like, let's just say, like in the time of Corona, man, finding any convention news to talk about on your primarily convention news podcast is a miracle. Except then it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
As Ken said in the intro, San Japan's chair, Dave Henkin, has stepped down from the organization because of, let's just say a controversial tweet. So
that's a very diplomatic way of putting it.
So Dave Henkin on his Proz Twitter account at PROZ, he used to read my webcomic. He tweeted on June 4th the following. I'm just going to read this. We got tagged asking why we don't bring out more people of color industry, as in more people of color industry. Yes, that's Trey's interjection. I'll tell you why. We get tagged and constantly requested to book sexual predators with and popular asshole divas. That's what people want to throw their money. Show up by the hundreds with cash to see people of color, then I'll book them. Yeah. So,
how about no?
Yeah, so, like, obviously, like, it's the implication that most people took is that, like, besides the fact that he, indirectly is defending the people inviting guests like Vic Mignogna, who falls into both of those categories, it's blaming the fans for not inviting people of color and, like,
yeah, because the fans dictate. Sure.
Yeah.
I can't even, like, finish my statement. I'm just so flabbergasted at this nonsense. I mean, when cons are looking at guests, like, there's a whole huge amount of criteria that goes into it. And it's not just like one thing or the other thing. It's a multitude of things. And like, you should be looking at people of color as guests anyways, especially. I mean, because like...
Well, he also tweeted this out June 6th, 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, of all the times to say...
In light of everything that's going on.
And I understand that he has, like, a privated Twitter account. Like, it's But, you know, obviously screenshots of the tweet leaked. We have it. He's actually, like, changed his name on Twitter. Like, it's still the at P-R-O-Z, at Proz, but, like, changed all the stuff so he's not searchable. At least the last time I checked, it's pretty ridiculous. But, San Japan's put out a massive statement, that Henkin has stepped down as convention chair and relinquished control to the San Japan Board of Directors. And the board of directors will be governed by committee used until a long-term solution can be established. All future celebrity and fandom guests will be selected by a combination of fan submissions, staff recommendations, and formal recommendations made by an equity committee. There's a whole bunch of stuff in their official statement, but, you know, it's just, what a dumbass thing to say.
Stupid and insensitive.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah. It's... Yeah. You I'm glad he stepped down. Go away. Shoo. Don't want you.
Ugh. Yeah, you have any thoughts, Nick? Just the silence from Nick is amazing.
I know.
Sorry, that was a that was a like that ain't it, Chief. That's basically what I was. Sorry, I had a frog in my throat and I was trying not to cough on air.
And you forgot to unmute yourself.
Basically, but yeah. This ain't it, Chief. That it's there are bad takes and there are weapons grade bad takes, and that is a weapons grade bad take. Like, oofta.
Yeah.
Maybe don't be an insensitive jackass.
Yeah.
It's just my take.
Yeah. Let's.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he's not the only dummy.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's tons.
Yeah. Especially people in Florida.
Oh, God, the whole state of Florida, guys.
Oh, boy.
Florida man strikes again.
So, we didn't, like, I almost wrote an article about this, but I chose not to. I don't know. It's so Florida, as everyone knows, has opened up, and people have decided to start running conventions again, like smart people, in the middle of a pandemic. And so we.
Well, what's the worst that could happen? It's not like, you know, in addition to the pandemic going on, Florida has a long history of making incredibly stupid decisions. Oh.
This comes to us from the TomKroom.com, the blog of Tom Croom, best known to many of us as that guy David Willis made fun of in a strip of Short Pact almost exactly 10 years ago because he got his panel rejected from BotCon and then, like, did this whole, like, more like bot fail thing and, like, he hates Beast Wars. He can't be trusted.
I'm not aware of that.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. I pulled up this blog and I was like, isn't that the guy that David Willis made fun? Like, I have... Pepperidge Farm remembers. Okay. he lives in Florida. A couple weeks ago there was a convention in a small pop culture event in Florida, on Sunday, June 15th, the Florida Toy Shows Expos decided to go ahead and run the Orlando Area Toy Collectors Summer Pop-Up Show in Apopka, Florida, located just northwest of Orlando.
Oh, boy.
This is Florida's first geek event since March. So I'm not going to read to you the whole write-up by Tom Croom. I will link it in the show notes and send you his blog, because he took photos, and this place was crowded as heck. Many people most of the people there were not wearing masks, or at least a solid percentage were. A lot of people were wearing masks, but not everybody, not a good percentage, and there was no social distancing in these photos. And it's just, like, my favorite thing is at one point, among the crowd, I'm going to read this quote. Among those in the crowd were two attendees passing out flyers for their own convention. Neither person was wearing a mask or gloves. Instead of taking a physical flyer, I asked to take a photo of it. And he posted the photo of the flyer, UltraCon 2020, which is going to be held in late August. And they have on this flyer some of the guests, and I just have to point out that one of the guests being promoted for this convention that's being run, for this other convention that hasn't taken place yet, that's being run during a pandemic, with flyers being handed out by people who did not wear masks and did not wear gloves and were handing flyers to people. One of the guests is, of course, Vic Mignogna.
Of freaking course.
Nope. Don't want it.
Well, you say that.
On the upside,
Vic Mignogna might get exposed to coronavirus.
Maybe.
I'm not saying I want him.
I shouldn't laugh.
I don't want him to die, but there are people who have lost, like, lung capacity permanently because of this disease. And since the thing that's made most of his money for most of his life is his ability to speak, I'm just saying there could be some beautiful irony out there awaiting from nature.
Just waiting.
Waiting.
So this is universe. This is me calling you out. You can take care of this for us. I'm just saying.
Be a real solid. I'm on board.
Now, if you think one convention in Florida in the month of June was enough, well, guess what? There was a second. There were supposed to actually be two other cons in June, but one of them has delayed itself till August, which is still not safe to do. But and Tom Croom, of course, went to that one. Hero Hype Tampa. And the good news is that people practice social distancing at Hero Hype Tampa, but it also looks like hardly anybody showed up with the pictures. People were supposed to wear masks at all time in there, and the attendees were apparently good about it, but there was apparently, like, one staff member at the cosplay table who, like, had his mask around his neck all weekend and didn't actually wear it like a mask.
Oh, my God.
Your masks don't work if you don't do that, guys. That's just... And so this is... Florida now has had... So the good news is about this second event is that people did appear to socially distance. People did wear masks. They did have directional arrows on the floor and, like, the vendor room and stuff to keep people only going one way.
Mm.
But...
Feel better.
But, yeah. But this is stupid.
Yeah, that's insane. That hurts. This whole thing hurts.
The convention organizers, don't run conventions during a pandemic.
It's not worth it.
Like, and I know, like, I talk to a lot of vendors and things like that, and I understand a lot of them are financially hurting. And that the temptation to go to the shows that run is obviously out there, and, like, they've got bills to pay, and I get it. I really do get it.
Confirmed, it's bad right now.
But I'm also going to say that, like, none of our stuff is more important than human lives. Like, that's my thought. Like, my own livelihood is not worth human lives. Yep. Like, we lost a lot of stuff with Nerd and Tie with this year in canceled conventions. We were increasing our promotion at events and conventions, and we were relying on that for our primary advertising for certain shows here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the most effective advertising for shows like Stormwood and Associates and Let's Be Legendary is in-person advertising at events. But, you know, and so, like, it hurt us not to be able to go to those shows, but it is a different situation for people whose entire financial livelihood is dependent on conventions, and I get it. But it's just so not worth it right now. Like, you know?
I mean, anyone who, like, was that desperate to go to a toy fair, I mean, I hope the price on that G1 Overlord was to die for. That's all I have to say. But I'm ting.
If
I'm living
in
hell.
Well, if you're someone out there who is missing conventions and missing, like, vendor rooms, like, online sales, find vendors online, hit them up. It could really, really help them.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of vendors don't have online stores anymore.
Yeah.
Like, some of them do. And if there are vendors who you normally buy from at conventions who have online stores, please spend your money there if you're going to. You know, don't buy it off Amazon. Buy it from a smaller vendor. You may pay a few dollars more, but you're helping out, you know, a small business that could use it.
And honestly, I've heard some pretty good things about, like, the virtual conventions.
Mm-hmm. I've heard there's some really fun stuff at those. Like, in just terms of, like, having the excuse to interact with people. God, I wish I could have, I really wish I could have, or I should really look up where there's, like, any cosplay contests online, just because I like posting pictures, and it'd be a fun excuse.
Definitely keep you, like, in the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, you know, for me, like, the primary thing I love about conventions are just the social atmosphere and being in a space with other humans, which is, like, the one thing you can't do.
Yeah.
Like, my big thing, like, the thing that I go to cons for is literally the thing that is the danger. It's the one thing that can't be replicated online.
I just know that when this is all over, like, I've said it before, I'm saying it again, like, the very first few conventions after the pandemic are going to be, like, so lit. So many people.
Fair.
Holy crap, it's going to just be like a tidal wave of, oh my god, I can go to a convention now again. Ah!
Oh god, there's the poor staff that's going to have to patrol those back hallways.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to anyone who has to deal with that.
It's like, next April, which hopefully we will be in a state of being, like, because NoBrainCon, we had to, full disclosure, I staff NoBrainCon, and we had to cancel our August dates, which sucks, because just we didn't think it was safe. And thankfully, our venue let us out of our contract without penalty.
Nice.
Yeah, because we had a clause where if the state had still been shut down, we could have gotten out without penalty. But because the state reopened, we didn't have that clause. But here's the thing, and, like, other con runners will say things like, oh, well, I have to run because of my contract. I want to point out, we were going to cancel whether we got out of the contract or not. We decided to cancel the August dates. We didn't announce until we discussed it with the hotel because we wanted to make sure we could do things like get people, you know, the venue we have usually has a cancellation fee for their hotel rooms where, like, you lose, like, a night's worth if, like, for these kind of reservations. And so we had to make sure that that could be refunded to attendees before we announced anything. But we were going to cancel whether we were let out of our contract or not. And if we hadn't been, it would have completely bankrupted the event. Because we are a, you know, but we were prepared to do that. Like, we would have bankrupted the convention rather than hold it at a time when someone could get sick. And so when I hear con runners talk about, like, because you see this, like, people go, oh, well, they couldn't get out of their contract. I'm like, right, that, but sometimes human life is more important than your con.
And it's scary seeing it's funny, like, as you said that, like, someone sent me some concerns about some big events that where, like, the venue is straight up saying, even though the event hasn't made an announcement yet, venues will be like, no, we don't require masks. That's a personal choice. And it's just so scary. Like, it is amazing watching America not deal with this situation seriously at all. Sorry, I'm just frustrated. Someone put it to me, or didn't say it to me directly. I saw a great Facebook post on that topic. Like, watching America deal with a pandemic is like me every time I try to get abs. I take it seriously for about a month, then decide abs aren't real and give up.
Well, they're not. You literally have to dehydrate yourself to get them to an unhealthy level. So, I mean, you know, if you want to accidentally risk your health for, you know, a day of having abs.
I don't. I just love that logic. Because it really, I don't know, it's frustrating to me watching people just not take this thing seriously and knowing that we're not through the first wave yet. We're not. I'm sorry, anyone who doesn't want to believe that, but we're not. And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. We never made it. People, like, there's no second wave coming. We're still in the first wave. We never finished it.
Mm-hmm.
And while other countries are coming out of this, we are, it's just going to keep getting worse here because people don't take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And conventions are not frickin' worth it.
It doesn't matter what it is. If you haven't seen your friends for a while, if you wanted to go to a vendor, if you wanted to meet a guest, it's absolutely not worth it, guys.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Also, I've met a lot of these guests. It's not worth it. No. Some of them are great. Some of them are absolutely great, but like 80% of it, them are, they're fine. Once you discover guests are just people, it gets less exciting.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to see you here. Go get in a recording booth and make more of the stuff I like.
Wow, mean.
You're wasting time talking to me. I don't get more stuff I like if you're spending your time talking to me.
I respect my guests and see them as people.
Right, I see them as people. They're just people. I want the character they play, not them. Go make more of the stuff with the character they play.
Ouch.
I kid.
Should we move on to the mailbag or
no?
More things we want to talk about?
Well, did...
We're only 24 minutes into this thing. What do you mean mailbag?
Well, we're out of convention news, but in terms of kind of interesting news, since it's getting a lot of coverage from legitimate sources, do we want to talk about that interesting Michael Keaton thing that popped up today?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm kind of jazzed about this one.
Yeah, so it's been announced that Michael Keaton is in talks to play Batman in the Flashpoint movie.
The Ezra Miller starring Flashpoint movie that has been like one of the most nightmarish production processes I've ever seen Warner Brothers go through on one of these movies. It has lost more directors than I care to think about, and somehow they haven't given up on it yet.
We reported on multiple director losses when we were still running the mega blog, and we shut that down a couple of years ago.
But yeah, like, and so here we are, like, despite the fact that do they currently have a director? I wasn't clear on that.
Oh, I haven't checked.
Flashpoint is, of course, based, the title comes from a very interesting, kind of dark Flash storyline where, while trying to fix something about his past, Barry Allen runs back in time and screws everything up and wakes up in a topsy-turvy, nightmarish version of the DC Universe. And of course, this opens up like a lot of doors to some weird stuff they could do. And the idea of getting Michael Keaton to play Batman is really exciting.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean,
people are very fond of that movie, myself included.
Yeah, and this is still in talks. This isn't signed.
Right.
Early reports claimed that he was signed on, but it's been corrected to say that it's in early talks. And I don't see a mention of a director in this article. Anyway,
okay, so they might still be looking for a new director again.
But here's the thing. All these articles like keep talking about him playing Bruce Wayne, and I'm like, no, clearly this is Flashpoint.
I mean, they might have him playing grizzled old Thomas Wayne.
No, that's what I think he'd be playing, because they've already established, because like they're talking, oh, we might replace, I'm like, if they were going to replace Ben Affleck on screen, they wouldn't jump generations to Michael Keaton. You know what I mean? You'd cast someone either Ben Affleck's age to keep for continuity or younger for longevity, right?
Well, I mean, they already cast Robert Pattinson for
his
thing.
Right, but that thing is not in the universe of, as far as we know, the DCEU, the way Flashpoint would be. But
I mean, what even is in the universe anymore? Like, for all I know, what is or is not in the universe got drastically changed by really whatever they feel like. And the Crisis on Infinite Earths TV special CW did even gave them an out if they wanted to take it.
It's true. It does establish that the DCEU is connected to the multiverse, at least the new multiverse in The Flash, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Stargirl's on the new Earth 2. But
with Jeff Winger.
But no,
I mean,
but that's
Starman.
But I really think he's going to be playing Thomas Wayne, because he's a generation older than Ben Affleck. You wouldn't swap out for that, right? Like,
I mean, maybe I'm.
When
see,
there's
I'm,
an older Batman built into Flashpoint already.
Yeah, I'm saying that, but I'm also saying I'm leaning on the maybe only because there's no guarantee it's going to be a straight adaptation of the storyline. Because, I mean, let's face it, Flashpoint is a weird, topsy-turvy story, and it wouldn't be, and now granted, this isn't Marvel, who basically any time they name a movie after a famous storyline, they don't actually follow the book. But I'm gonna wait to see, like, more information, I guess. I mean, hell, the CW also did an adaptation of Flashpoint that thematically followed the original comic very closely, but the events were not the same at all.
That's true. It's weird that they did Flashpoint before Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I mean...
You also have maybe I'm being a little harsh here, but if they're going to do an adaptation of the Flashpoint storyline, as far as I'm concerned, they're also competing with the straight-to-video movie, which, granted, is only, a little over an hour long, but it's an excellent adaptation. And, if you're going to, I imagine that a lot of the same people who go to these movies buy these straight-to-video movies, although probably more people see the live-action ones than the animated ones. Actually, case in point, now that I'm saying that out loud, almost, there's a distressing number of times that they'll do a straight-to-video animated movie, and then, a year later, they do a live-action version of the same idea.
Yeah.
And for a while there, the animated ones were better. Looking at you, Suicide Squad.
Okay, that's true. But what besides Suicide Squad?
Arguably, Batman Dark Knight Returns, and then almost the very next year, Batman v Superman came out and adapted a huge chunk of Dark Knight
Returns. I forgot they
did
an animated Dark Knight Returns.
The animated one has friggin' RoboCop as Batman, and it was a really good adaptation.
Yeah, but I've kind of soured on DKR after all the sequels to it.
I mean, yeah, but...
I didn't even read the third one. I read the sequel, the second Dark Knight, Returns, the first sequel to the Dark Knight Returns. I didn't read the third one.
But if you just look at it on its own as an adaptation that is really only focused on what the original book was,
yeah,
back when Frank Miller writing Batman as a fascist was done as a morally ambiguous thing, not portrayed as a good thing, it was a really good adaptation. It was especially weird seeing some people whose complaints about it were, well, the Batman-Joker dynamic, that seemed so strange and tame compared to what I'm used to, and I'm just kind of in the corner being like, that's just straight out of the comic. The Batman-Joker dynamic wasn't what we know it as today when Dark Knight Returns was published. It just wasn't. That was kind of a Frank Miller thing.
I don't really care for the Joker.
I'm sick of the Joker. There's a reason I still haven't seen that Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Same here. I had no interest in it.
I don't know if I ever will. Maybe I will.
It's funny. I love the Cesar Romero Joker a lot. Because he just hams it up so much. And, And that's the natural thing that comes to me when I think of the Joker. So the further the representations get away from that, the less I end up enjoying them. You know what I mean?
No, I get what you mean. I've been mostly... It's weird. I'm so sick of the Joker, but I've been really enjoying a lot of recent Harley Quinn media. And, you wouldn't necessarily think that that character works best completely divorced from the other character, but she really does.
Well, yeah, it's I finally got around to seeing the Birds of Prey movie in name only. That's really a Harley Quinn movie featuring the Birds of Prey. Which is not to say it wasn't a good movie. It was a great movie. It just was a Harley Quinn movie and not a Birds of Prey movie. But nothing's going to feel like a Birds of Prey movie to me that doesn't have Barbara Gordon in it. And that's a unique problem because they haven't introduced the character into the mythos yet.
And considering Warner Brothers, apparently massive fear of acknowledging Batman's sidekicks outside of the Titans TV show, I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah, no, it's I'm tired of Batman without Robin.
Same.
Yeah.
Completely same.
Like, Batman being the adopted dad is, like, an important part of his personality. That's why I enjoy Batman Begins out of the Nolan trilogy, and I think Dark Knight's okay, but then when we got to the third movie and, like, what they effectively tried to do as a Robin thing, we're like, no, this isn't this is a full adult human man. This is not interesting to me. Like,
it's also just kind of a disservice to the character, because, like, you get people who work under this false impression that Robin was shoehorned in by comic book executives to sell books, and no one wanted him there, and that there was this long period where Batman was without Robin. But, like, it was less than a year.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or,
Robin...
like, maybe a little over a year, and, like, 1940 onward.
Yeah. Robin...
he was just in the story.
Yeah, Batman has had a Robin for most of Batman, and it's such an important part of his dynamic. And, like, occasionally there are comics where he'd do something when Robin wouldn't be there. Like, you'd see that. But, like, Bruce Wayne adopts kids constantly. Like, I swear to God, I'd even take him, like, adopting Dick Grayson and not having Dick Grayson ever suit up and go out in the field. You know what I mean?
I mean, fair. No, I get you.
Why is Lego Batman and Batman and Robin the only two major motion pictures to actually have a frickin' Robin? How am I supposed to watch Jason Todd die if Dick Grayson never gets signed up?
Oh, you know, you just reminded me of the other sad news related to Batman today, mentioning Batman and Robin. Normally we do these at the beginning, so now I feel bad. Deepest condolences to, why can I suddenly not remember his, Schumacher's family. Yeah. Joel Schumacher passed away at 80 today.
Really?
Yeah. The Joel Schumacher, director of Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. The only live-action director of the modern era who actually put Robin in the movies. Yeah, he just passed away today.
Wow, I hadn't seen that. It's, you know, like, yeah, we didn't do deaths at the beginning. Because we didn't
mention that. Sorry about that.
Because we didn't mention that Ian Holm died recently.
Oof.
Yeah. That's two Bilbos gone. Watch out, Martin Freeman.
What? Don't even joke.
Don't threaten Martin Freeman.
Benjamin, that's like the most upsetting thought that I've heard
Ken,
all day.
Ken, what did you do?
It's just something I saw on Facebook.
Oofta.
Yeah, but Ian Holm, to most of our listeners, is probably best known as having played Bilbo, the older Bilbo, the, you know, 111-year-old Bilbo in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And, you know, other things.
I mean, if we're going to be honest, though, that's the, like, the really, that's the,
I mean,
most of.
He was an alien. He was, like, he's been.
Lots of people were an alien. I time traveled so I could be an alien. It was worth it. I didn't actually time travel so that I could be. Please don't look for that. That didn't actually happen.
I'm pretty sure he was in From Hell. Unless I'm thinking of a different movie.
Well,
yeah,
if
no,
you are...
He's 100% in From Hell. I think he's Jack the Ripper in that. Spoiler. I saved you the trouble of watching that movie.
Alan Moore will be thankful to you. He is not a fan.
It is not a good movie.
Fair. More than fair.
Joel Schumacher died. Wow.
Yeah. End of an era.
A man who put nipples on the bat suit.
The man who thought Gerard Butler was a good casting choice for a musical.
You know, it's funny. So, I was just talking. So, on this month's BS for Witchcraft, which doesn't come out until after this episode, but was recorded several weeks ago, Brina Garen's a guest on this month's episode of BS for Witchcraft, and we were talking, we just, on a random aside, we're talking about the Batman and Robin soundtrack.
Okay. Well, that is a wild trip. I will agree with that.
So the film, the episode we're doing for this month on BS for Witchcraft is we're talking about the cultural importance of the movie The Craft in the modern witchcraft movement. And we made a comment that the Craft has a really good soundtrack, and The Craft was one of the, like, at that last edge of movies where everything on the soundtrack actually played in the movie. And the kind of the counterpoint to that was the Batman and Robin soundtrack, which pretty much nothing on that soundtrack played in the movie. And that Brina Garen and I both happen to own copies of the Batman and Robin soundtrack.
Well,
I was a Smashing Pumpkins fan. I wanted that version of Jewel's Pieces of You, because I her version of Foolish Game, Foolish Games, because the it's a different it's a re-recorded version than the version on Pieces of You, and later re-releases of Pieces of You included that re-recording of it. But I already owned that album, and so, because it was the 90s, and it was a required thing to own.
Wasn't there also, didn't on that soundtrack, doesn't R. Kelly sing a song about how nice it is to live in Gotham City?
Yes, he does.
Or am I remembering that?
No, that's 100% on that soundtrack.
Ah, I was hoping that was a fever dream,
That is the only thing of R. Kelly's that I own. There's some other good, but there's some good stuff on that soundtrack. Like, so there's the end of the beginning is the end by Smashing Pumpkins. And the beginning is the end is the beginning. There's both, it's two songs that are pretty much two versions of the same song on that album. One opens and the other closes it.
Huh.
There's other stuff on, what is the other song I'm thinking of? Bone Thugs and Harmony are on there.
What the hell?
You got.
What were we doing in the 90s? God.
You got a Soul Coughing song on there. Yeah, because it starts with the end is the beginning is the end, and ends with the beginning is the end is the beginning. The two Smashing Pumpkins songs on there. House on Fire, there's an R.E.M. song. There's Goo Goo Dolls. Soul Crossing. Yeah. Boner by Underworld.
Dear God.
I thought there was another song.
Wow.
There, but apparently not. Looking at the album listing.
I just delight in reminding people that Seal's Kiss on the Rose was originally recorded for Batman Forever soundtrack, and that never gets
was it
old
recorded
for me.
I know it was obvious it's on the soundtrack and it was the major selling point. I just know it was also on Seal's album, so I didn't know if it was a song he had already written or not.
There's a good chance that he might have already written it, but as far as I understand, it was first released on the Batman Forever soundtrack.
That's a good track. That is such a good song.
It's a good song that is much better than the movie it's in, and I'm an apologist for Batman Forever.
I like Batman Forever. I enjoy Batman Forever. It is exactly the movie I wanted it to be. I can't say the same for Batman and Robin, but I enjoyed Batman Forever.
I think Batman and Robin is an anti-classic, and I think it deserves more love than it gets.
You know what it is that I like it if it was part of a different Batman movie series?
I think that's part of why this sounds like the same reason that my spouse doesn't like Army of Darkness. It is just that, like, it is so tonally off of the other two Evil Dead movies, it's hard to take seriously.
But Evil Dead 2 is tonally different from Evil Dead 1. Each of those films is tonally different.
Yeah, but it's still... I agree. But as someone who... back-to-back, I got massive whiplash Army of Darkness. Whereas I can't say the same... Evil Dead 2 was much lighter, but it still felt like I was watching something in the same universe. Like, I don't know.
Have you seen Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Yes, it's excellent. I like it a lot.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I finally got around to watching the last season a couple weeks ago. Because originally, like, we'd been pirating it for the first, like, few seasons. And then it was going to streaming, and we're like, okay, we'll wait for the last season to go to streaming. And then we forgot to go back to it.
Oh, no!
Well, so then we went back to it, and we watched it, and it was amazing. Although, like, it had been, like, 2 years since we had watched an episode of the show, so it was like... Wait, this is Ruby from the other time? Okay. Because, you know, we had to, you know, piece together what the hell was going on.
Well, the best piece of Evil Dead content is still Evil Dead the Musical, and no one can convince me otherwise.
I've never experienced this.
A friend of mine, actually Shameless Otaku, found a bootleg of it, and we watched it, and it was fantastic. I highly, highly recommend it. Like, as far as I know, the show's still touring, too. So, like the director is still constantly reworking it. So if for some reason you, listener, are like, hey, Evil Dead the Musical is playing near me, go have a good time. It's fantastic. There's a tango that Ash Williams and the other male lead do called What the F Was That? It is one of the funniest songs I've ever heard in a musical. We have gone so far off the rails and I don't even care.
There are no rails. this okay, so folks, for the listeners home to see a little behind the scenes on how we do the show, is beforehand, before we do the show, I write up a rundown for the show where I, like, section off what we're doing and when. So it starts starts intros, then headlines, and then what those headlines are, and then usually the next point is what we refer to, we've been referring to at least since we reformatted the show, as the big topic. And then after that, it's mailbag. Well, this time, there's headlines, and then just where there should normally be, like, the big thing that we're going to talk about, I just wrote whatever. I wrote whatever. The word. Because, man, it's just nice to talk to other people.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like,
at this point, like, I'm just going to be real with y'all listening at home. Doing this podcast is a important part of maintaining my sanity, because it's the only time I talk to people who aren't my wife. And I love my wife, but it's nice to talk to, like, other humans.
Joke's on you. You think I'm a human.
You are. That's the bad
According...
news.
Well, that can't be right. According to this little purple guy I ran into, I'm a Ben.
You are not a Scottish
I'm pretty
mountain.
Sure he's reliable.
So, people who listen to Stormwood, that whole thing, that wasn't something he just made up for the show. He's got this stuffed thing called, this purple thing called Axel, the axolotl.
Uh-huh.
They will bring this thing to conventions.
He's a friend.
Yeah, and he's got an Instagram cult that you can join.
Like, it's a whole thing, and
it's
I'm...
He lived with Gen for a while because Gen let him drink. I don't let him drink.
Yeah, yep, that was a fun night.
And I just... Sometimes, like, my life just, I think it's going normal, and then this just happens and comes up. And I am not a participant.
To have as your friends.
Uh-huh.
I am not a participant in this experience. I am a bystander. And it's fine, but...
Well, that sounds like your problem. You're welcome to participate.
And I will say that everyone should be listening to Stormwood right now. This current arc is phenomenal.
Nuts.
And if you aren't caught up, you should catch up.
You should catch up. It's a fun show. I really like working on it.
And this is big stuff's happening right now in the show. It may seem like we're just going to Taco Shacks, but big stuff's happening. Yeah, they just this last week they just got to the second episode in the arc, so it's the one where you spent almost the entire episode in Fred's bar in Taco Shack.
Yep.
Oh, little did we know.
Little does anybody know. Keep spoilers.
They serve tacos there.
They do.
I didn't think they would, but they did.
And I have made some Fred's Bar and Taco Shack like merchandise on Redbubble. There's a link to it in the Discord. I'm not linking it anywhere else because this is merchandise for true fans. And so if you want to sleek into the Nerd and Tie Discord at nerdandtie.com/discord, will get you to an invite if you're not there already. And there's a link in the Stormwood and Associates channel for Fred's Bar and Taco Shack merchandise, which I spent far too long on.
Hit it up.
I downloaded a font for that shirt because I had a specific vision of a specific font. Because I for some reason didn't have I didn't have Cooper Black on my computer. But I really wanted it in Cooper Black because I felt like that's the exact font that Fred's Bar and Taco Shack would use. Owned by Dave. He named it Fred's to make it sound more authentic.
Seems legit. I buy it.
Yep.
I'd buy that for $1.
Yeah, the shirts have the logo of the restaurant, a picture of some tacos in sepia tone, and the motto of everyone is welcome except for Steve.
Which, again, really good motto. Something I can really get behind, I think, anyway.
And you should not order the tacos a la Steve if you're ever in Morris Halata.
Yeah, good advice. Don't do it.
Although, if anybody ever makes a tacos a la Steve, I want them to video themselves eating. I will say this. If you make a tacos a la Steve, the first person to make tacos a la Steve and videotape themselves eating it, I will send them a shirt. I will send them a Fred's Bar and Taco Shack shirt to the first person who makes a tacos a la Steve. The ingredients are in the episode. Are in the episode of Stormwood and Associates titled Fred's Bar and Taco Shack. So if you make that, videotape yourself making it and eating it, because I need to see you make it to verify the ingredients. And then you have to at least chew and swallow at least 2 bites. I will send you a shirt. I am not kidding.
If you build it, we will send you a shirt.
It's probably less personally taxing to just buy a shirt if you really want one. But I am really curious to see if anyone will actually do this. I know Brittany. Fair. I don't know if Brittany's going to listen to this episode anytime soon, or if Brenda's listening, or anyone. It's just, y'all, I will do this thing. I will give you a shirt.
Can confirm.
Yeah. We should probably get to the mailbag.
Yeah. Who wants to read it?
You do.
Oh, let me bring it up. This is from our good friend Brenda. Yay! Love hearing from you. Subject is Discord. She writes, so since the whole COVID-19 has been going on, I decided to use Discord, mainly because I joined a NADPOD one and played D&D, and I remembered the Nerd and Ty one. I have to say, this is my favorite one to be in. Everyone is so nice, and it's fun to talk about different things with people who understand me. I loved when we had the voice chat when Trey's power went out. I hope we could do that again. Hope everyone stays safe and has a good month.
I think I will do that again. Like, at some point, I'll do office hours or something on the voice chat in the Discord again. Yeah, it's I did it once. Actually, I did it right after we recorded the April episode of Nerd and Ty. Because if you listen to the episode at the end, my power goes off and we have to switch to the backup recording that Skype was recording. There's a clear edit point. But after that, because I couldn't watch TV, I couldn't do anything, but I had, internet through my cell phone and I have a cellular iPad. I just went on Discord and just said, hey, anybody want to talk with me? And chatted with people on our Discord for an hour or two.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was really fun. Because, I was just sitting in the dark. My wife and I were sitting there in the dark, and I decided to do that. So we should do that again.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. We could, maybe get all of us on there.
I wouldn't mind doing something like that. I've been wanting to do, I haven't done, a live, Nikizumi thing where I just, do, a live stream and hang out on my, on some channel, that I link to via my Facebook page, and I can link to via the Discord, too.
Maybe we can do that for the July episode of Nerd and Ty.
Well, you can,
just let everybody on the show.
We could do Discord streams. Because my friends and I have been watching movies that way, where one person streams and everybody else on the Discord can join in.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that'd be fun to do, a movie night.
There are many fun things to do on the Nerd and Ty Discord.
And the movie.
I like the way Nick cut off after just saying, and the movie.
Well, I cut off because I started hearing you talk, and then it just turned into, for some reason it digitized on me, so I was trying to figure out what the gobbledygook was.
That's neat. Literally no one else was talking when that happened.
That's weird and terrifying. I was going to say, and the movie will be a classic, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
And the voice is in your head.
I mean, creepy. Way more creepy than Plan 9.
The funny thing
is
that
movie's totally in
people,
public domain.
People at home aren't going to know the weird thing that I did because we don't release the show in stereo. So, I mean, it sounded to them like I just randomly whispered. But you have to understand, Nick hears me in stereo. And I made it so that only came out of one channel of his headphone. So, just out of, one of his ears, did he hear the creepiness. Just be.
Such is life.
Oh, and I made the soundboard buzz. That's awesome. Yay for equipment that doesn't like to overheat. Anyways. I guess that should bring us to the final part of our show. Which is the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is part of the show where I read part of a book, and the challenge to you, the dear listeners, is to guess what book I'm reading from. If you guess correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. 1, we put your name on our website. 2, we read your name aloud every episode of the podcast. 3, there is no third thing. But be happy. This is a fun game. A little bit of housekeeping. I will say before last episode aired, but after we recorded it, Cheesy McDamu did correctly guess the old book, but he was already in the Hall of Awesome, so I don't feel bad about it. And he sent his guess in, like, so there's this, so we record this, we're recording this on a Monday night, and it's going to go out to the feed on a Tuesday morning. We always record it in an evening and then release it the next day, mostly because I want to go to bed. And just relax the rest of my evening rather than make the title card for the episode. Because I don't do that until after we record it. So that's, he sent it in that window where the episode had been finished but hadn't gone out yet. But he's already in the Hall of Awesome, so who cares? and also someone had already guessed the book. But he didn't know that. So, all right. The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkham, Izero, Rin Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slither D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lilisaurus, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, Sakura Sunset, Joel Kreisman, Patrick Delahanty, Wonderland Hearts, and Megzy Sass Council. Now, I've been reading. I started last episode reading a new book, and so I'm going to pick that up. And open to a random page. Here is the line of the book. For me, the path to self-acceptance meant accepting heartbreak. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the form we form, tell us, and on the contact form, and tell us. Or if you any of your hopes, dreams, thoughts, feedback, compulsions, random words that you think sound funny when paired together, go to the Nerd and Tie contact form. nerdandtie.com/contact. There's a form there. Fill it out. Send it in. And we might read your stuff in the mailbag because that's the format of this segment.
That's literally what we do.
Yeah. Oofta. So I
oofta indeed. Nailed it.
I think that kind of brings us to a close, though.
I'm just like, Nick.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Midwest, like a Wisconsin villain. Oofta, indeed. Ah, ah, ah.
Oofta, I nailed it, dear. Yeah.
And now oh. I will drown you in my vat of cheese.
Oh, don't you know? Actually, we had to actually take the vat of cheese outside for a while, eh? And we're gonna have to use the cream. Also, if we drown him in the cheese, we can't use the cheese.
No, we drown him in
this
the way.
This is no good. You can't. I had a theme going here. And
I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of other ways to take care of a guy, don't you know?
Okay, well,
Nerd
and Ty, thank you for joining us.
I don't have the music going. There we go.
I've been one of your hosts again, Proc, and.
Oh, I'm a trade orn, okay, don't you know?
And our...
And Nick, you there?
Nick?
I could not hear anything on my end for the last few seconds.
Say your name, man!
A funny, stereotypical Midwestern ending.
So keep on Spocking there in the free world.
All right. So anyways, you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple iTunes, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify, or any other place that accepts an RSS feed. Please, if you're on one of the services that allows you to rate and review, like iTunes, please do it. You're doing that helps other people find the show. So, you know, click the little star thing and, like, fill the whole thing, man. It's cool. If you want to support the show financially, you can always sponsor an episode. Or if you want to support our legal fund, go to GoFundMe.com/NerdandTie. Remember, if you can also support the show financially independently. Gen's got a coffee/Genjamin. I've got a Patreon at patreon.com/TREGORN. Nick's got a Patreon at patreon.com/NickAzumi. That is patreon.com/NickAzumi, as I ran out of breath there. You can also follow the show on social media. On Twitter, we are at NerdandTie. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/NerdandTie. That's the page for the whole network. This is all for the whole network. On Tumblr, we're nerdandtie.tumblr.com. And remember, again, you can join our Discord just by following an invite at nerdandtie.com/Discord. You know, we've got a lot of fun stuff going on the Nerdandtie Network. This month on BS Free Witchcraft, we're going to be talking about the craft. So even if you're not into the witchcraft stuff, if you want to hear, like, two people in their late 30s talk about the craft for over an hour and, like, 20 minutes... Man, we got you covered, because that is totally what this month's episode is. And you can find more about that at nerdandtie.com/BSFreeWitchcraft or at BSFreeWitchcraft.com. And Nick already said his catchphrase, so I don't have to let him say it. So I guess I'm just going to say at this point, in your hopes and your dreams, in the places that you fear dark in the night, remember, there is always hope. There is always that glimmer that there is something out there better. And that something out there that's better is us. So, you know, listen to the podcast, because
it's true.
We are the only brightness in your world. Like, the rest of this is just all darkness, but, like, us talking, like, this is all that is good in the universe. So keep tuning in. That makes sense, right?